Blog Talk Radio.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
Brothers and sisters, we're going to have church tonight. And tonight, this speaker is Reverend Reuben Johnson.
I wake up praising God every day.
Watch the butterflies hit the wall. And if you're feeling down, give your boy a call. Weed, it takes the stress away. That's why Bazaar smoke 10 blunts a day. It's nothing but the sticky, icky, green stuff. Light it, pass it, and take a puff. Having a bad day, stop by my house. Cause most likely, I got a blunt in my mouth. So sit down, relax, and chill. And if you don't smoke weed, and shit, I got some pills. What you need, girl, a fucking refill? A fat bag of weed and some Happy Meal? Nah, baby, I don't smoke new ports. Only fat bags of weed in this escort. TJ Drake, Dangerous Mind, just like Coolio. Only church I know is Snoop Dogg Studio. White House raps, roll in my lap. Grab the Hennessy, get the ass a tap. I'm glad that I didn't move down south. Take care of my kids, be the man of the house. Orange mushrooms and yellow stars. Fat bags of Beatles in mason jars. Get in the lap, come on, jump in. Drink a bottle of gin and two of your freaky friends. Oh, fuck it, let's go to see the point. Bring your son along, shit, he can hit the joint. Cause rapping is a full-time job. All I want is smoke weed and praise God, yeah.
I wake up praising God every day.
And we're sitting over here at 16-5-0 Coney. And ladies and gentlemen, come and praise God with us. Brady Grace, Baptist, Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, Tabernacle. Yeah, come praise God. Yeah, services Sunday at 4:20. Jesus will take care of you. Jesus, you need.
Greetings and welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. Again, I got caught up into something real quick that I'm trying to see. I had someone I wanted them to call in. So they're a little late, they told me. Maybe it won't show up, who cares? But the fact remains that we need to talk about this thing here. There's a whole lot of people going to jail for these shit things. Getting fines now. Well, I'll just go ahead and make it right across the board. While I wait, my guy is Bushman and my medication.
Wipe out that dilute them brains. And I see people getting hooked every day on crack and cocaine. Well, I ain't got some sense in me in my backyard. And before the informers go track yard, I send a message to the sarge just to let him know. Before they make him know, I've got that stock and sense in me, yeah, grooming in my backyard. Oh, words I have spoken, and that me a promote. Keep ram bam bam, realize the man we deal with crack and food. Words I have spoken, and that me a promote. Sense in me, yeah. Hey, I stand aside and see the crack both thinking. Many know the outcome and still because of his kids. Constant using of cocaine and heroin. Living life without a meaning. Mr. Farmer Man, till this island planted. Killing off the nation, get the youth they want it. Can't get addicted and you could never abuse it. Coke and crack, me I beg you just refuse it.
As a rude man I spoke, and that me a promote. In grand bam bam bam.
Me have found this sense in me, yeah. Constantly each day, them legalizing gay and locking up the youth, this sense in me, yeah. What them a portray, me like them from full play. And who let in the art just from the senior.
I need to mash up the youth, them aid. And it's a run the old place, aid.
Meditation, well, and we did my bird sacrifice. I have to give thanks and praise. If man a smoke, oh Lord, you see, hey, we burn the snatcher and the coke. Smoke, oh Lord,
in the 15 ounce of white powder.
No crack and cocaine every day. Well, I and I got some sense in me now in my backyard. Empty for the informers go junkyard. I send a message to the sarge just to let him know before they make him know. I've got the stock and sense in me now, rooming in my backyard. Hey, if I just spoke and that me up from
to understand the struggle, to understand pain and dues, and the pain of my people, your people, all around the globe.
struggling hard and chasing dreams. What you know about having no car, rent being due and no blame made? What you know about sacrificing all your wants for all your needs? What you know about loving your child just to find out that ain't your dodging them cops to make ends meet. Survive. What you know about the lights being off, the gas being off, and no food to eat? What you know about Goodwill clothes, while your friends dress fly in junior high? What you know about grandma's words when she said, one day, boy, you gon' shine? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh.
Girl, you told me how you really love me and you'll never ever leave me, cause I'm your one and only Buster. You're all over town, yeah. Girl, I know that you're always up to something with your bag of tricks, but you say you're not a nothing but girl. You're playing the clown, boy. Cause I fought for your truth every time. The more you confuse and perplex my mind, you keep saying everything is fine. You're a sniper, girl, you're one of a kind. And love, 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 love is a blind. The way you operate so smooth and so cool, girl, you got me fooled, oh baby. You've done it again, yeah. It was right there before my very eyes. I was a fool in love and I didn't realize. Right now I want to emphasize, get off me girl, you're no longer my prize. And love, 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 love is a blind. But this one will last for a lifetime. It was crazy the way you treat me, baby, yeah. Come on, pretty girl, get out of my face. I ain't got no more time to waste. Run around as much as you can and use the same line on every man. Cause love, love,
revolution.
Niggas.
But niggas shouldn't be scared of revolution.
All niggas.
because evolution is nothing but change, and all niggas do is change. Niggas come in for murder and change into pimping clothes, they hit the streets to make some quick change. Niggas change their hair from black to red to blonde, and hope like hair and lips will change. Niggas kill other niggas just because one didn't receive the correct change. Niggas change from men to women, from women to men. Niggas change, change, change. You hear niggas say, things are changing, things are changing. Yeah, things are changing. Nigga things into black nigga things. Black nigga things that go through all kinds of changes. The change in the day that makes them rant and rave. Black power, and the change that comes over them at night as they sigh and moan. Life dies. Ooh, life dies. Niggas always going through bullshit change. But when it comes for real change, niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are actors. Niggas are actors. Niggas act like they're in a hurry to catch the first act of a great white hope. Niggas try to act like Malcolm. And when a white man doesn't react toward them like he did Malcolm, niggas wanna act violently. Niggas act so cool and slick, causing white people to say, what makes you niggas act like that? Niggas act like you ain't never seen nobody act before. But when it comes to acting out revolution, niggas say, I can't dig in action. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas talk about getting high and riding around in L. Niggas to get high and ride to hell. Niggas talk about pimping, pimping that, pimping what? Pimping yours, pimping mine. Just to be pimping is a hell of a line. Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas talk about your mind, talk about my mind stronger than yours. I got that bitch's mind upside. Niggas don't know a damn thing about the mind, but they'd be right. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas fuck. Niggas fuck, fuck, fuck. Niggas love the word fuck. They think they're so fucking cute. They fuck you around. The first thing they say when they're mad is fuck it. You play a little too much for them. They say fuck you. When it's time to TTB, niggas are somewhere fucking trying to be nice to them. They fuck over you. Niggas don't realize while they're doing all this fucking, they're getting fucked around. And when they do realize, it's too late. So niggas just get fucked up. Niggas talk about fucking, fucking that, fucking this, fucking yours, fucking monsters. Not knowing what they're fucking for. Ain't fucking for love and appreciation. Just fucking to be fucking. Niggas fuck white thighs, black thighs, yellow thighs, brown thighs. Niggas fuck ankles when they went out of size. Niggas fuck Sally, Linda, and Sue. And if you don't watch out, niggas will fuck you. Niggas will fuck, fuck if it could be fuck. But when it comes to fucking for revolutionary causes, niggas say, fuck revolution. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are players. Niggas are players, are players. Niggas play football, baseball, and basketball while the white man is cutting off their balls. When the niggas play ain't tight enough to play with some black thighs, niggas play with white thighs to see if they still have some play left. And when ain't no white thighs to play with, niggas play with themselves. Niggas tell you they're ready to be liberated, but when you say, let's go take our liberation, niggas reply, I was just playing. Niggas are playing with revolution and losing. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas do a lot of shooting. Niggas do a lot of shooting. Niggas shoot off at the mouth. Niggas shoot blue. Niggas shoot traps. Niggas cut around the corners and shoot down the street. Niggas shoot sharp branches at white women. Niggas shoot dope into their arms. Niggas shoot guns and rifles on New Year's Eve. A new year that is coming in. But white police would do more shooting at them. Where are niggas when the revolution needs some shots? Yeah, you know, niggas are somewhere shooting this shit. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are lovers. Niggas are lovers, are lovers. Niggas love to see Clark Gable make love to Marilyn Monroe. Niggas love to see Todd and fuck over NATO. Niggas love to hear an old ranger yell, hi ho silver. Niggas love commercials. Niggas love commercials. Oh, how niggas love commercials. You can take niggas out of the country, but you can't take the country out of niggas. Niggas are lovers, are lovers, are lovers. Niggas love to hear Malcolm rap, but they didn't love Malcolm. Niggas love everything but themselves. But I'm a lover too. Yep, I'm a lover too. I love niggas. niggas, I love niggas, I love niggas, because niggas are me, and I should only love that which is me. I love to see niggas go through changes, love to see niggas act, love to see niggas make them plays and shoot the shit, but there's one thing about niggas I do not love. Niggas are scared of revolution.
Why should the black man in America concern himself, since we've been away from the African continent for 400 years, 300 or 400 years? Why should we concern ourselves? What impact does what happened to them have upon us? Number one, first you have to realize that up until 1959, Africa was dominated by the colonial powers, and by the colonial powers of Europe having complete control over Africa, they projected the image of Africa negatively. They projected Africa always in a negative light. Jungles, savages, cannibals, nothing civilized. And then naturally it was so negative until it was negative to you and me. And you and I began to hate it. We didn't want anybody to tell us anything about Africa, and much less call us an African. And in hating Africa and hating the African, we ended up even hating ourselves without even realizing it. Because you can't hate the roots of a tree and not hate the tree. You can't hate your origin and not end up hating yourself. You can't hate Africa and not hate yourself. And you show me one of these people over here who have been thoroughly brainwashed, who has a negative attitude toward Africa, and I'll show you one that has a negative attitude toward himself. You can't have a negative attitude toward yourself, a positive attitude toward yourself, and a negative attitude toward Africa at the same time. To the same degree that your attitude, that your understanding of, an attitude toward Africa becomes positive, you'll find that your understanding of and your attitude toward yourself will also become positive. And this is what the white man knows. So they very skillfully made you and me hate our African identity, our African characteristics. And you know yourself that we have been a people who hated our African characteristics. We hated our hair. We hated the shape of our nose. We wanted one of those long, dog-like noses, you know. Yeah. We hated the color of our skin. Hated the blood of Africa that was in our veins. And in hating our features and our skin and our blood, why, we had to end up hating ourselves. And we hated ourselves. Our color became to us a chain. We felt that it was holding us back. Our color became to us like a prison, which we felt was keeping us confined, not letting us go this way or that way. And we felt that all of these restrictions were based solely upon our color, and the psychological reaction to that would have to be that as long as we felt imprisoned or chained or trapped by black skin, black features, and black blood, that skin and those features and that blood that was holding us back automatically had to become hateful to us. And it became hateful to us. It made us feel inferior. It made us feel inadequate. It made us feel helpless. And when we fell victim to this feeling of inadequacy or inferiority or helplessness, we turned to somebody else to show us the way. We didn't have confidence in another black man to show us the way, or black people to show us the way. In those days, we didn't. We didn't think a black man could do anything but play some horn, you know, some sound, and make you happy with some songs, and in that way. But when an inferior thing, where our food, clothing, and shelter was concerned, and our education was concerned, we turned to the man. We never thought in terms of bringing these things into existence for ourselves. We never thought in terms of doing things for ourselves, because we felt helpless. And what made us feel helpless was our hatred for ourselves. One of the things that made the black Muslim movement grow was its emphasis upon things African. This was the secret to the growth of the black Muslim movement. African blood, African origin, African culture, African ties. And you'd be surprised. We discovered that deep within the subconscious of the black man in this country, he's still more African than he is American. He thinks that he's more American than African because the man is jiving him and the man is brainwashing him every day, telling him, you're an American, you're an American. Man, how could you think you're an American and you have never had any kind of American treat over here? You have never, never. 10 men can be sitting at a table eating, you know, dining. And I can come and sit down where they're dining. They're dining. I got a plate in front of me, but nothing is on it. Because all of us sitting at the same table are all of us diners. I'm not a diner until you let me dine. Then I become a diner. Just being at the table with others who are dining doesn't make me a diner. And this is what you got to get in your head here in this country. Just because you're in this country doesn't make you an American. And no, you got to go farther than that before you can become an American. You got to enjoy the fruits of Americanism. And you haven't enjoyed those fruits. You've enjoyed the thorns. You've enjoyed the thistles. But you have not enjoyed the fruits. No, sir. So I point these things out, brothers and sisters, so that you and I will know the importance in 1965 of being in complete unity with each other, harmony with each other, and not letting the man maneuver us into fighting one another. I say that again, that I'm not a racist. I don't believe in any form of segregation or anything like that. I'm for the brotherhood of everybody, but I don't believe in forcing brotherhood upon people who don't want it. As long as we practice brotherhood among ourselves, and then others who want to practice brotherhood with us, we practice it with them also. We're for that. But I don't think that we should run around trying to love somebody who doesn't love us. Thank you.
Of the insides of the hog. They call them chitlins nowadays. In those days, they called them what they were, guts. That's what you were, a gut eater. And some of you are still gut eaters. The field Negro was beaten from morning till night. He lived in a shack, in a hut. He wore cast-off clothes. And he hated his master. I say he hated his master. He was intelligent. That house Negro loved his master. But that field Negro, remember, they were in the majority. And they hated the master. When the house caught on fire, he didn't try and put it out. That field Negro prayed for a wind, for a breeze. When the master got sick, the field Negro prayed that he died. If someone come to the field Negro and said, let's separate, let's run, he didn't say, where are we going? He said, any place is better than here. Field Negroes in America today. I'm a field Negro. The masters are the field Negroes. When they see this man's house on fire, you don't hear these little Negroes talking about our government is in trouble. They say the government is in trouble. Imagine a Negro. Our government. I even heard one say our astronauts. They won't even let him near the plant. And our astronauts, our Navy, that's a Negro that's out of his mind. That's a Negro that's out of his mind.
Just as the slave master in that day used Tom, the house Negro, to keep the field Negro in check. The same old slave master today has Negroes who are nothing but modern Uncle Tom. 20th century on the terms to keep you and me in check, keep us under control, keep us passive and peaceful and nonviolent. That's Tom making you nonviolent. It's like when you go to the dentist and the man is going to take your tooth. You're going to fight him when he starts to. So they squirt some stuff in your jaw called Novocaine to make you think they're not doing anything to you. So you sit there and curse, you got all that Novocaine in your jaw, you suffer peacefully. There's nothing in our book, the Quran, as you call it, Quran, teaches us to suffer peacefully. Our religion teaches us to be intelligent, be peaceful, be courteous. Obey the law. Respect everyone. But if someone puts his hand on you, send them to the cemetery. That's a good religion. In fact, that's that old-time religion. That's the one that Ma and Pa used to talk about. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a head for a head, and a life for a life. That's a good religion. And then anybody, no one, resents that kind of religion being taught but a wolf who intends to make you his meal. This is the way it is with the white man in America. He's a wolf, and you a sheep. Anytime a shepherd, a pastor, teach you and me not to run from the white man, and at the same time teachers don't fight the white man, he's a traitor to you and me. Don't lay down our life all by itself. No. Preserve your life. It's the best thing you got. And if you got to give it up, let it be even Stephen. We'll be right back.
show. I had a few distractions. Window was open and things was making noise. But like I was trying to go ahead and mention that, you know, the reason that marijuana is legal in this country and we ain't recognizing that it's a tool used against you. If you check the history of marijuana, and the reason why they criminalized it was for racism, fear, protection of corporate profits, yellow journalism, some ignorant and incompetent and corrupt legislators, and personal career advancement and greed. I mean, turning people in for garbage and stuff. I mean, we don't see that nonsense. And it's said that blacks go ahead and smoke as much weed as white people do in the suburbs. You know, the urban areas are smoking about as much. Maybe I'd say less, really. More affluent areas have access to a lot more things, so I don't believe that either. But I think this should be something we should rally around. Something. I mean, when was the last time you heard about some kind of march with Trayvon Martin? So we constantly got some new bullshit to go ahead and rally around. But nothing gets done. Absolutely nothing. Because that's because all these marches and rallies and all that stuff and these get-togethers, these protests have no point. Just want to get people riled up, make it look good. Certain people go ahead and talk about it and raise funds. While the problem doesn't get taken care of, I think that going ahead and seeing people go ahead and rally and protest and march might be an issue that a lot of people might go ahead and deal with. I hope. Please, what does it take? What the hell does it take for you to wake up? Now, I was reading this article about marijuana lies. Basically, what got me stuck was a whole lot of reasons on why it's illegal. I mean, what is it? People just don't want to read. They don't like reading. I don't get it. Yeah, let me play something else. I got another little thing I want to talk about.
Yo, where the fuck is that little boy at? Stanley, bring your ass. Oh, goddammit.
Punk ass nigga. But anyway, man, yo, bone, man. When I get 14, man, I want to bum here a rag top tray and some gold
dangles. Man, fuck that shit, man. You need to take your ass to school, get your motherfucking job
man,
and
fuck
shit.
Fuck that, man. Fuck you, man. Look here. When I get 14, man, I want to bum here a rag top tray and some gold dangles with a three-wheel motion, chin wheel put out, three-finger ring, fat ass link, and a big booty bitch to go with.
Break them off, son.
It's really a shame. Young brothers and sisters today have a lack of understanding of what it really means to be black.
Could you tell me who unleashed our animal instincts? And the white man sitting there tickle pink, laughing at us on the avenue. Bust the cops at each other after having brew. We can't enjoy ourselves. Too busy jealous at each other's wealth becoming not just envy. But the black community is full of envy.
Oh shit.
Too much backstabbing. While I look out the window, I see all the Japs grabbing every vacant lot in my neighborhood.
Yep.
Build a store and sell their goods to the county residents. You know us poor niggas, nappy hair and big lips. Four or five babies on your crops, and you expect Uncle Sam to help us out?
Jeez.
We ain't nothing but porch monkeys to the average bigot, redneck honky. Your fight coming up is a must, but before we can come up, take a look at us.
Break them off some.
Y'all dope dealers, you as bad as the police, cause you kill us. You got touched when you started slanging dope, but you ain't
Died last year from gang related crimes.
World of
Hey, come to Los Angeles. You and your family can have peace and tranquility. You want to find me?
Hello, my name is Elaine, and I'll be your tour guide through South Central Los Angeles.
How to survive in South Central? A place where busting the gap is fundamental. No, you can't find a shit in a handbook. Take a close look at a rap crook. Rule number one, get yourself a gun, a nine in your ass to be fine. Keep it in your glove compartment, cause jackers, they love to start shit. Now if you're white, you can trust the police, but if you're black, they ain't nothing but beef. Watch out for the kill. Don't make a false move and keep your hands on the steering wheel. And don't get smart, answer all questions, and that's your first lesson on staying alive in South Central. Yeah, that's how you survive.
Hi, this is Elaine again. Are you enjoying your stay in South Central Los Angeles, or is somebody taking your thing? Have you witnessed a drive-by? Make sure you have your camcorder ready to witness the extracurricular activities on Black by the Police, so you and your family can enjoy this tape over and over again.
Rule number two, don't trust nobody, especially a bitch with a hook of spot. Cause it ain't nothing but a trap, and females will get the jacks and kidnaps. You'll wind up dead. Just to be safe, don't wear no blue or red, cause most niggas get got. In neither L.A., Compton, or Watts, pissed off black human beings. Start thinking about a shift of sightseeing, and if you're nothing but a mark, make sure that's in before dark. But if you need some affection, mate, make sure the bitch ain't a section 8, cause if so, that's a monkey wrench hoe, and you won't survive in South Central.
Now you realize it's not always cracked up to be. You realize that it's fucked up. I mean, nothing like the shit you saw on TV. Palm trees and palm stitches. So I advise you to pack your shit and get the fuck on. Yeah.
Yo, I'ma say what's up to DJ Chili Chill. Hey, yo, you, these motherfuckers don't know what time it is. So show these motherfuckers what's happening. Tell these motherfuckers, don't fuck around and talk fish. God damn it. Rule number three, don't get caught up. Cause niggas aren't doing anything not thought up. And they gotta fight on everything from dope to stolen merchandise. Read the germ. Cause South Central LA is one big germ. Wait for a brother like you to catch a disease. And start slanging keys to an undercover with a wrong brother. And they'll smother a out-of-town motherfucker. So don't take your life for granted. Cause it's the craziest place on the planet. And LA heroes don't fly through the sky storm. They live behind bars. So everybody's doing a little dirt. And it's the youngsters putting in the most work. So be alert, take time. As you enter the concrete Vietnam, you say the strong survive. Shit, the strong even die in South Central. Yeah, you you better watch out. And for you so-called crawler ass niggas, you know what time it is. South Central ain't no joke. You better keep your gat all the time, motherfucker. You better keep one in the same with nine in the clip, right, Jamie? You and yo get got just like that. This ain't no joke, motherfucker. Now I want you to shout out to the E-Dog, the engineer, putting in 2:15.
This is Los Angeles.
Billions of dollars wasted on racially biased arrests. See, the aggressive enforcement marijuana possession laws needlessly snares hundreds of thousands of people into the criminal justice system, wastes billions of tax dollars. What's more, it is carried out with staggering racial bias. Our article is covered from the ACLU. I'll throw this in there. You know, this, you got a point. They don't seem to be stressing it very much. They got money. I don't really see them going here and having an all-out push. Go ahead and legalize it. I mean, nobody even knows it exists on that issue. But there is a lot of money being wasted on this thing, and it's we are picking up the tab. We are the cause. We the product. I think think about it because about 2 weeks ago, somebody I know got a ticket in Chicago, but ticket, how much is it? I think he said it was like $250 or $500. I'm like, God damn. I know you didn't pay that for the weed. What the fuck? Yeah. I don't really know the circumstances. I wasn't there, so you might be holding back. But it's one of those things. And then I was checking out. I don't see the latest Trayvon Martin rally march protests. Looking at some timelines, and all I see is from sometime last year. See how these people go ahead and rally you up for all that nonsense just to collect money? And they can't go ahead and rally you up. They ain't going to talk about going ahead and you want to rally a march, a protest, to go ahead and make weed legal. That would get a lot of support. It's too much. But that would take away their corporate sponsors. That's what it was. Some of these pharmaceutical rep type dudes. And I was shocked to even see that the beer industry as a whole was against making weed legal. That didn't make sense. But there's some more crappiness to this. You know, look at some of these reasons that they give to make marijuana illegal. Oh, my goodness. In the early 1900s, the western states developed significant tensions regarding the influx of Mexican Americans. The revolution in Mexico in 1910 spilled over the border with General Pershing's army clashing with the bandit Pancho Villa. Later in the decade, more bad feelings developed between the small farmers and large farmers that used cheap Mexican labor. Then the Depression came and increased the tensions as jobs and welfare resources became scarce. One of the differences, I don't want to read all this shit. Basically, what it's going to go ahead and do is telling you why, you know, they have issues with each other. I'll put this. And what happened was they started spreading the newspapers again, white media started spreading lies because they started seeing a lot more Mexicans around. And what they said was you start letting all these Mexicans in, they're going to start raping white women. Now, and also in this same thing on that timeline, it also says something similar about the jazz musicians that they will go ahead, since they smoke a lot of weed, they were enticing white women, all of the black jazz artists, so... And I also seen something similar about that thing with them with cocaine, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. But there are too many, you know, I always say too many people speaking up on our behalf only to go ahead and profit. Because there's something to the, I never really trust a lot of the data you get from individuals unless I know some of the people doing the polling or, you know, it's hard to trust some of these people doing the polls. But it's something to that. When you visit some people or you know people in the community, you go ahead and you see things going on. So these numbers may even be, in fact, be higher. And it's, you know, wow, like I'm saying, every almost every minute someone in the United States is arrested for having marijuana. A black person is 3.73 times more likely to be arrested than a white person. Yeah, it's a lot of bias. A lot of bias. Let me throw this out here. This is how I feel.
Well, you hear me say no. Without any apology, it's no good to stay in a white man country too long. Thank you. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. In the 50s, my mother, sister run go England. Now them gone America, them turn American. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. So you left Clarendon and go a Brixton, and you check the things cool in a Liverpool. But enough power didn't know that things would get a blow. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. And I listen to the news, I get confused. A black man shine, the Ku Klux Klan. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. If you're white, it's alright. If you're brown, stick around. If you're black, get back. Are you better attack? It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. Now the fire have a burn, the blood have a run. At time Big Ben really tumbled down. And Peter said, him have a burn a chalice. But me say, him should have burned down the palace. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. Hear why? When you're there, you say, hey sir. When you go there, you say, a cup of tea please. It's no good. Rastafari know. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. When you're there, you say, hey sir. When you go there, you say, hey mate, it's getting late. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. Now them shoot Reagan, them shoot the Pope, them shoot after the Queen, and you take it me a joke. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. Blacks in England, what is your plan? Blacks in England, check the time. Skinhead them now, check them crime. Blacks in England, find your land. Cause it's no good to stay in a white man country too long. Yes.
Yeah, greetings, welcome back to the Chef Rap Show. Yeah, I know a lot of people don't agree with that song, but hey, fuck it. It has some good meaning to it. Some real good meaning to it, yeah. We need to kind of pay attention to that a little bit, you know. Need your own shit. But let me go back and try to read this other thing. Our marijuana use is up dramatically. Yeah, marijuana use, this is one of these lies and myths that they use. Marijuana use directly contributes to mental illness, depression, psychosis, permanent loss of IQ and memory, heightened risk of heart attack and stroke, and school dropout. Now, the reply to that says, it's interesting on how marijuana use went up dramatically in the 1970s, but schizophrenia diagnosis declined, or how the IQ of college students, college entrance tests show no correlation to the rise and fall of marijuana use. Marijuana does increase heart rate, but But as much as sex or climbing stairs, problems that led kids to pot also cause problems in school. Pot symptoms, not the cause. More nonsense. More freaking nonsense. And for the most part, we got people going ahead. Some people believe it. You know, we shouldn't have a segment of black population shouldn't believe too much of shit. They pass it around and change the whole meaning of everything. I got issues when we don't go ahead and see the writing on the wall. I mean, damn, there's a problem. This could be an issue that you can go ahead and rally around and gather and talk about, fund it, do this, do that, take over the industry. They're slowly talking about making it legal here and there a little bit. Is this something else we're going to go ahead and miss out on? I mean, shit. On the surface, I saw an article in Fortune 500 a few years ago, and it talked about marijuana growth in Kentucky, like a $5 billion industry. And pretty much it was competing with the bourbon, whiskey coming out of Kentucky. That was a wild moment for me. And marijuana is going ahead and being told, being one of those horrible things to everybody. It's been, everyone's talking nonsense about it. Sort of having some issues. We'll do this and then we'll sign out.
Yeah, I want to do this, I judge no judgment. Like some boy keep some election the other day, I mentioned them win some seats, you gotta swear them out doing it because I've always done problem now. Watch this.
Now you win, you vote. Baby, what is it you gonna promote? Babylon. Now you win, you see. Tell me, what you gonna do for the youth, them on the street. Now you win, you vote. Baby, what is it you gonna promote? Babylon. Now you win, you see. Tell me. What you gonna do for the youth, them on the street? You know where they're them and them big shipments are gone. We should talk to the youth, them in a slum. Every day them and them gone. And them not stop gone till them gone a black brother dumb. Then them say them are gonna read the budget. Promises, all that them left. And still now none are fulfilled yet. At a fire boy. Now you win, you vote. What is it you gonna promote? Now you win, you seek. What you gonna do for the youth, them on the street? Now you win, you vote, politician. What is it you gonna promote? Now you win, you seek. Well, what you gonna do for the youth when you keep street party? And we can't keep a dance. And to the youth you give no chance. You're living in a high skateboard, skyscraper. Sleeping in a presidential suite. We do the work, you get the praises. While you drink champagne and say chess. Bobby Rock, boy. Politician, boy, Lord. Now you will, you vote. Baby, what is it you gonna promote? Now, now. Now you win, you see. Politician, tell me what you doing for the youth, them on the street. Now you win, you vote. Now you win, you see. Tell me, what you gonna do? The city make the youth them hungry in the street. Youth them a haunted, so me see. Youth them hungry in the street. Youth them wanted, so me repeat. For stolen garbage and broken sewage. Mosquitoes and flies. The pest can take, just anything can take us. Out there for a ride. Watch out, you step in. Watch out.
black brother do. Then they say they want to read the budget. Promises, promises, all that them left. Until now, none no fulfill yet. Fire burn them out of Rome now, now. Fire burn them out of Rome. Fire dead, burn them out of Rome now, now. See they, now you in your vote. Tell me what is it you got from me. Now you in your
vote. So, it's a Sarah Ruby production, you know?
Yeah.
Down, 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 down. A tropical storm, yeah. We going to war, yeah. Girl, if you want to know me better, just call my name. I'll be standing right here on the girls' them lane. And writing my name on the wall of fame. No make no complaint, it's the way to think, Khalid said.
Everybody's talking about you, babe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then the next girl I'm also. When this whole lot start park out, girl best with them and pack out them things and walk out. A girl I drop down and I'm faint and I pass out. Well, in a minute let me get me business start out. My fans them love me from the first day me start out. People are shout out me name from all bout. From the journey to Babylon to Manor Park Road. Boy, I try look me girl and sign him land out. And I call out me name but me have to laugh out. Them say them tough look up with them tough out.
Black folks can rally around?
No. I think I think it's a distraction. I will politely disagree with you.
You can go ahead and be as wild as you want.
First of all, I think that, you know, I don't I put it like this. It's definitely, I do agree with it. It's from the earth. It is an herb, and I think that there are many uses for it and things like that. So I'm not coming from an angle of being against marijuana. No. But I'm coming from the angle of when it comes to, quote, unquote, fighting for it. Because the reality, huh?
You scared me a little bit. Okay, so go ahead.
The reality of, I mean, because, you know, honestly, it's much better for you than actual other heavy drugs that's out here, you know, and all this different kind of stuff they making nowadays and all these different things and some old other stuff. So, no, so I'm not saying I'm against marijuana itself. I'm against the criminalization of it, which mostly affects Black people. But when you talk about Black people, you know, protesting it and rallying around supporting marijuana, to me, you have to look at the real economics of it and break it down. And the reality of it is, in the places where you see that it's been legalized, it has been white men or white people who are in a mostly middle-class type of position, whom have and will benefit from the decriminalization of marijuana. It's not going to be Black people. And you look in Denver, and you see that they are mostly who own the dispensary. Same thing in California and all that kind of thing. And they can take it, and they can twist those laws however they want to twist them. And then when they twist them like that, it's going to always come down and reflect on us the worst. And I just think that right now you have so many Black men who are in prison on marijuana charges, okay? But when it comes to now, okay, so we're going to approve it. We're going to let money be made off of it. Now that money that's being made off of it is not, it's still not going to us. You know, and that's the reasoning behind that, again, is a white supremacist infrastructure. So if they can criminalize something, it's going to be Black people who are going to be mostly affected by it. If they're going to legalize something, it's going to be mostly white people who benefit from it. And that's the part in this we're missing.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I fell off you maybe, what the hell. But
okay.
Again, you just like you just said, we got a lot of Black men in prison for these, you know, small marijuana charges. That's why I was saying this would be something we can rally around and also go ahead and say, hey, well, you know, all these whites got, they're in charge of the dispensaries. Where are our dispensaries? We can't go ahead and do that.
Mm-hmm. No. They're not gonna let us do that. Because then what they're going to do is, and likely what they probably have already done, but I need to look into that a little bit more. But what they tend to do is they will then come up with certain permits you need. They will come up with other legal guidelines and qualifications and certain amounts of money and certain this, that, and the other, which will, you know, be much more of an adverse situation to Black people getting in the business than it would for white people. So even though we can say, well, why can't Blacks get in the game? You know, you look at that in many areas. You know, you say, well, why can't Blacks get in the game? Why can't we own this? Why can't we do that? Because there are a lot of other, there's a lot of other red tape and permits, like I said, and legal things behind the scenes that we're not going to, you know, be able to work with or work around, not as easily.
You know, here in Illinois, the marijuana was supposed to be legal for, like, medical purposes starting January 1st.
Where at?
Here in Illinois.
Oh, okay.
And the problem is they still haven't worked all the bugs out, so it's a whole, the thing is, like, kind of a hole in limbo.
Mm-hmm.
The state legislatures are got some issues, so they haven't really, I guess, released or doing some silliness they're doing. But at the same time, there's still, like you said, there's still a lot of the whites who own the dispensaries, right?
Right.
And so what I saw was to go ahead and to get an application. They had a fee for the application, a filing fee, and then you got to pay for the license. And I think the license was pretty steep. I mean, up there, I don't remember if it was, $250,000 or $25,000. Anyway, to go ahead and get to dealing with the application in the beginning, you out about $5,000 in the beginning, and it just goes higher. So, hold on.
Hello.
Yeah. Visitors.
What the hell going on? All right, what is you doing?
It's visitors. People in for the holiday, and it's like, whoa. No one wants to sit their ass down.
They're trying to find out where they good stuff is at.
Shit. No, they don't. But, you know, I think maybe they should. So they shut the fuck down.
Maybe. you know, that's just my belief about it, you know, is that it's very, you know, nice to say and to think and believe that, you know, black people could then take this and turn it into something beneficial for us in our community, you know, seeing as how we were constantly criminalized behind marijuana. But it's not going to happen. It's the same old politics that are applied in every facet, just like we have, you know, people in our community selling us hair products that they don't even use and can't even use on their own hair, you know. And then it's like, okay, well, why can't we own those businesses? Well, there's a monopoly on much of the product that's being sold for those businesses that we couldn't likely compete with as black business owners. So, you know what I mean? It's always like a catch to it. It's always a catch somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I the biggest thing right now is paying those fees. I mean, it's a lot of fees.
Yeah.
And to date, I don't think there isn't any one place here in Illinois that's selling it. But there are a lot of fees. So, the frustration comes with all those fees and all that other nonsense. And just to go ahead and get them to look at your application, you're paying a fee for this. You know, it'd be too much for a lot of people. I know it'd be too much for me. I wouldn't fuck with it.
Right.
I wouldn't mess with it at all. But again, because we got so many people that's being incarcerated for it, so many lives are being affected negatively, I think that would be something that, hey, some people could talk about, let's do something against that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have too many people talking about doing too much other stuff. I always harp on that. I don't think that having things the way they are now is really, really, I mean, what is it? It has to be some point we have to wake up.
Right. But this is the thing, too.
I want to hear your opinion. What would be that point where we wake us up?
I mean, you know what? I don't know, because I don't think it is going to be a point. I think that point is very much so an individual decision. Because the reason I say that is there's not going to be a collective waking up, because if there were, it would have happened 10 times, 20 times, 100 times over. There would have been a collective waking up by the black community. But there hasn't been, and there hasn't been because we're always going to have an element of black people or of people in any group that you can define, but there's always going to be an element in any group that will choose to go against the truth, okay, or that will choose to be blind from the truth.
Right.
People that, you know, just want to stay out of conflict. They want to stay in their own little world, in their own little box, and that's where they want to stay at. They don't want to be pushed out of a comfort zone, even if it's for the betterment of their children and their life and their community. There's going to be people who are just going to be what you may call race traders, okay? There's going to be people who are willing to sell out for the black folk to get money or see that master stable or however you want to look at it. So there's never going to be that collective eye-opening. It's always going to be an individual thing. I mean, but things can happen. Like if you look back, you know, during the civil rights era and stuff like that, you look at things they continuously point to, but there's a lot of things going on. But you look at things like Rosa Parks' situation or the four girls who were bombed in the church. You look at things or the assassination of, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. or of Malcolm X. Or, you know, the Watts riots, all of these things. You can point to these situations where you maybe had more of an abundance of people at one time who woke up. But, you know, for some people, those events meant really nothing to them. You know what I mean? It was still kind of like, oh, okay, and they just carry on, and that doesn't mean much. So, yeah, if we haven't already collectively woken up, it's not never going to happen.
Hey, Brother
Pianchi. Yeah, Rob.
I'm glad you're here, brother.
Hi, Pianchi.
Hello.
The other day, man, I was hearing you. You know, I want to veer off just a minute because you showed up, and I got Sister Renee here. When you were talking about religion on that other show. On Tyrone's show, and you gave the information, only to hear it was shot down. It being shot down, being said it was bullshit by an individual who couldn't go ahead and present his side and just want to go ahead and say it's bullshit and never go ahead and add to the conversation. I notice a lot of times he's just taken away. What would you go ahead and add to that individual?
Oh, you let them talk so people can understand and see what type of substance they have, right?
Right. Good advice.
You let individuals like that talk, and that way people can see exactly what type of substance that they have.
Right.
But you talking about marijuana, isn't this proposed in your state? I thought it was.
Yeah, it is, but I'm not sure exactly what they're voting on. I mean, it's like some restrictions here, this, that, the licenses, blah, blah, blah. These other little issues came up, so it's kind of like it was supposed to be legal January 1st for medical purposes, okay? And then in the city of Chicago and a few suburbs, you got to pay a fine if you get caught with weed. But these state people, the state legislatures, they're just playing around. I'm not sure what's going on.
Well, if the state legalizes it, well,
right.
You know, you say it for medical purposes.
Right.
If the state legislature legalizes it, then no entity within the state within your state can fine anyone for using that. They cannot impose no laws. No local community cannot impose any laws that's more stringent than the state law,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, the U.S. Constitution.
Mm. I might see that. That might be the rallying cry right there. What do you think about that, Renee?
I'm sorry. I missed a little bit of that. I'm in between trying to do two things at once, but I heard you say something that would be the rallying cry. And he was saying something about the state or what was legal or...
If the state legislature legalizes, the local community can't fine or convict anybody for using it.
Yeah, because in Chicago they still giving people fines.
No, well they can't apparently the state didn't legalize it. If the state legalized it, and the city of Chicago is giving people fines, well, they're wrong in doing so. Mm-hmm. If you appeal what's going on in Chicago, if you appeal a court decision, a civil court decision in the city of Chicago, you're going to appeal to who? You're going to appeal to the state. So states already said that it's legal. So the city of Chicago have no reason to be telling. It's just like the only other entity that can tell you is the federal government. And the Department of Justice is not prosecuting anybody for utilizing that herb in states where it has became legal for whatever purpose.
Well, it's happening here. Yeah, it's happening here. So nobody's really challenging it. I haven't heard nobody challenging it. You there, Fiona?
Yeah, I'm here. I hear you.
I was saying, I don't hear nobody challenging it. Nobody's really saying anything.
Well, white folks will when they get ready to start. Some white group will, or organization, because they're going to be the one that's going to be taking advantage of the law. More than likely, you have a few African Americans like you have in Colorado. Mm.
Well, that's how it was done over there in Colorado. And then I briefly seen the guy who was in charge, or I guess he didn't say he was spearheading the whole movement. And he got a lot of heavy donors. They gave him a lot of money, and he competed with the against the Republicans over there in Colorado. That's how they got it legal over there. But I don't see nothing like that over here in Chicago. It seems like everybody want to make money off of it the wrong way. So how does it look over there in Missouri?
I haven't been following it. That's the beauty of sovereign state. If you don't like what's going on in one state, move to another.
Oh yeah, true. I ain't talking about moving out the state. When I move, I'm talking about moving out the country. Yes, Renee.
Is that really feasible? I mean, you say that's a good thing about a sovereign state is if you don't like what's going on, you can move to another state. I mean, is that really feasible for the average person?
Mm. Well, I tell you what, businesses do it. Businesses will tell you. States will try to win out the location of a business, especially that's going to hire a lot of people. And they play a lot, they have a lot of influence over laws that's passed in states.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just think that's easier said than done. You know what I'm saying? You can say that, but you have to also remember the people who are not in positions to just up and move to another state. I mean, you establish a home, you establish a job, you establish your children going to a school. You establish certain things, and maybe your family is there close by or what have you. You establish a life in a certain state, and then because something becomes legal, illegal, or whatever the case may be, you know, that's not just easy. I mean, that's easier said than done to just get up and relocate.
What option is always there for you to do it if you want to?
I mean, technically, yes, but realistically, no. I mean, realistically,
no,
that
move.
Option is not there. I mean,
people do move to other states because they don't like what's going on in the state that they live. In Nevada, they don't charge any sales tax. In Maine, they don't charge any sales tax. In Florida, they don't charge sales tax. So I think if those states was to start charging sales tax, I think a lot of people would up and move.
Missouri do charge sales tax, don't they?
Yeah, Missouri charge sales tax. But it's very low.
Illinois got a bunch of them, and around Chicago, it's even, I think it's like 10.10. It's over 10% now. And climbing.
Hell, people, when they retire, when people retire, they move to Florida. A lot of them do because of it's conducive for retirees more than other states.
Yeah. Illinois ain't one of those states you want to retire in. It's not one of those states you want to retire in. You kind of like, you want to go ahead and try to run away from Illinois in a lot of instances.
Well, Missouri isn't neither the nothing to do. Weather's crazy. Hey, Negroes here, politicians here, you got one major park in the city of St. Louis. They don't allow nobody in it, even on Memorial Day. They got signs around the park. They got signs around the park, no parking between April and October.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In a black ward, Freeman Bosley Ward.
Wow.
Today, they got the park blocked off with barricades where you can't enter.
And they got an event in the park?
We used to play, and they got baseball fields in there, so if people wanted to play baseball, they don't have no place to park. On the streets surrounding the park, the curb lanes, playground equipment.
A lot of traffic there?
One street, there's no traffic at all. It goes right through the park, basically. Then you got, on the south side, you got Natural Bridge Road, which is a major street. I guess people supposed to park across Natural Bridge Road on the residential side in front of folks' homes, then walk across. That's crazy.
What was the reason they closed down the park?
It don't make any sense. You know, you have young people who fix up their cars and they cruise, and they may have fix up their cars and gather because, you know, when whites used to have car shows, they wouldn't allow blacks to get in. So blacks started doing their own thing. And then they cruise through the park.
Okay. And
hey, that's why I taught my grandson to play ball. My daughter lived in a highly rich and influential community, but I brought my grandson down in the city to play with black kids. So that's where he learned to play baseball with his team when he was about five. We kept them kids together. We went on to win championships and go over to Illinois and to Cahokia. I can't think of the name of those other towns. Heck, we used to beat them all white teams when they was kids. We used to practice there in Fairground Park. I always complained because the fields was messed up. No bleachers. So, you know, that's black folks that's doing this shit. Freeman Bosley Sr. At one time it was Antonio French, but the latest census, he lost the park because the area lost population. People moving out.
I didn't know that about St. Louis.
Craziest damn stuff I've ever seen in my life. Then they got another park, O'Fallon Park. When you get ready to go through it, you got to go through checkpoints and show you got insurance and got a driver's license.
Really? Checkpoints? Where are the checkpoints?
At the entrance to the park.
How many entrances are there?
Two, maybe three. Well, you know, they block off and make you go through one. I got a friend of mine was talking about he went wanted to go there to the lake and fish. And he was so aggravated, he couldn't even enjoy himself. So that's black folks doing those things.
So why is that one Why has that one got checkpoints? What are they looking for?
They ask you for your insurance and driver's license.
Okay.
I don't know what they're asking for. I'm going to go through there tomorrow and see what it's all about.
I never heard of that. They don't
I keep
that
telling
you,
Negroes, it's crazy, man. Totally crazy.
And what's his politician's name?
Freeman Bosley Sr.
And what does he do there?
He's the alderman from the city of St. Louis. Been there forever.
Ward looked like. What was he on the restaurant developer? What was he doing?
No, he just been there forever. As long as I've been around. His son was the first black mayor. He was different than his daddy.
How many black people in St. Louis, roughly?
The people, black folks, is moving out of St. Louis, man.
I know, but how many?
Just like
rough?
South, I don't know, maybe about 50,000. Just like Southside Chicago, where you have vacant lots, dilapidated homes, blight, and nothing to do, no place to work, no place to play. I just came from the African Festival, which is out in Forest Park. And that's all black out there. Don't nobody bother them.
Why don't nobody bother them?
It's been going on for years, decades, really. Nobody bother them. I remember when they used to have Black Liberation Day out in Fairground Park. You would have one police for every one person that was out there, seemed like.
Really?
Yeah, but that was decades ago. But see, here's the point. This is totally crazy. I seen they had some news cameras there today. And I'm just going to just show you how black people, these old head Negroes, how they treat young black kids, black young, the youth.
Right. Yeah, I saw something
then
yesterday.
You got them old folks that keep voting them in year after year after year. And they aren't gaining anything. The houses they live in is not worth nothing. If they bought a house back then for $13,000, it ain't worth $5,000 today.
Well, you buy a house for $13,000.
I'm saying back in the day you could.
Oh.
And a lot of them, that's when whites started moving out. And you know the funny thing about it, in 1949, they had a race riot there in Fairgrounds Park because black kids were swimming in the pool. Whites didn't want them in the pool. And they chased them out of there. Well, I'll be damned, here it is 2014, you got black people doing the same thing that the whites was doing, running the young people out of the park. And see here, we used to go down to the riverfront and watch the river roll by. They stopped that. You could go out to Forest Park and park any place, throw a blanket out, enjoy yourself. We used to park at the boathouse and, you know, congregate and talk and stuff. People pull up their chairs and, you know, do whatever they're going to do, drink a soda or beer. They stopped that.
It's sad.
You absolutely have said. And what are they memorializing when you got those type of restraints? Then when blacks move out of the community and move west, north, and after they move in these communities that, you know, whites start moving out, then here you got these same Negroes coming up, moving out there wanting to run for elected position. They need to shoot them when they see them coming.
That's a little harsh there, Pianki.
State reps. Senate, state reps, the reps and state senators. They ain't no good.
So it's like that in every state, Pianki.
They voted, the House voted, House and Senate voted, where children could, basically gave them choice for education. Where if you're in a failing district, you could take money and go to an adjacent district or even go to a private school. and it passed the House, and it went to the governor, and he vetoed it. Then, see, here's what it is. You had one lady by the name of Marie Chappelle. She said she wanted it, but that's a damn lie. She just grandstanding because she. I remember years ago when we had a similar circumstance, which was called a scholarship bill, where business could sponsor a child to go to a school of their choice, and he could pay for it but write it off against his income taxes. Well, she was against that, just like the NAACP was against it. So when the governor vetoes this, she speaks out against the governor. Well, that's grandstanding because, in essence, she didn't want that anyway. But that's just another example of how these politicians will play their constituents, in this case, black folks, to the hump, to the T.
So wait a minute. Why was the NAACP against that bill to sponsor a college student?
Because of the teachers' unions. The teachers' unions don't want black kids leaving the public schools because if he did, it's going to affect their jobs.
That's something to think about. That's not good, there, Pianki.
No, it's not good, but, I mean, what are you going to do?
I'm always asking what we're doing.
Pardon me?
I'm always asking, what can we do?
I don't see you being able to do anything. The odds are too much against you. Sorry to say. I don't live through those issues as it surrounds education. And you just stuck. And then the bad thing about it, you got black folks that want you stuck because they stand to gain from so-called being helping you to alleviate your struggles. But really, if it wasn't for your struggles, they wouldn't be in business.
Very, very true. Very true.
So anytime you got them talking about we need better schools, more pay for teachers, and all that old crazy mess, them fools, them the ones you need to get rid of and stay away from because they lying to their teeth. They're not in the business. See, unless you pull your children away from them entities that support the teachers' unions, and black folks are teachers, they're hoping to get a pension. They're paying dues to the teachers' union. Teachers' unions will take those dues and use them as campaign dollars to buy off your politicians where they dare to fight for what you should really have. And it's just an ever-ending story. Never-ending story.
That's horrible, man. And the kids get caught in the middle.
Yeah, the kids get caught in the middle, then they blame when they become adults and saying they're no good parents. Anytime you have somebody blaming something on the parents, you need to look at them with a critical eye. Because I just laid out to you to show you that it ain't the parents' fault. What makes you a parent? Well, when you turn a certain age. It doesn't have anything to do, as people recognize it today, with your proper upbringing, instructions, training. It has nothing to do. It's just based on a number. And they say that parents is no good. Whereas they promote and they accomplish the very thing that makes children unknowledgeable when they become of age of anything about what parents are supposed to be. How in the heck they going to go talk out against the schools that they came out of? They don't even recognize what deficiencies they have coming out of.
That's a good point. I always say it's kind of hard to blind to lead the blind, and that's kind of like the situation we're in.
Yeah, it is. It's a very, very terrible situation. I don't know what to tell you. Some come out of it. I mean, it's a miracle that some. I listened to Jay-Z and Warren Buffett talk today. And Jay-Z talks about how his sixth grade teacher saw an interest in him. Well, if it hadn't been for that, he wouldn't have been where he is today. Warren Buffett came up in the 1930s. He said he had 30-1 odds against him becoming what he was. He just took an interest in finance when he was 6 years old.
How rich is Warren Buffett?
Warren was probably worth $43,000-$45 billion.
How much?
Warren is worth over $40 billion, $30-40 billion. He's very, even though he gave away half of his wealth. But once you make that kind of money, you know, yeah, 10% of $10 billion is a billion. So once you make that
richest,
kind of money,
I want you to tell me a little bit about this richest person in the world. Or he's, they said he was more, he's even more wealthier or richer than Warren Buffett. That brother coming out of. Out of Nigeria, or it wasn't the sister?
No, they're not Richard Buffett. That's Carlos Slim down in Mexico.
That's who?
Carlos. It's Carlos Slim in Mexico who's richer than Buffett, who's more, has more net worth.
Drug deal.
He's in communication.
Okay, he ain't no drug dealer. Okay. We need to create some of these billionaires in the black community.
You ain't going to create no more billionaires in the black community in America.
Not in America?
They permitted Oprah. No. It'd be very hard. Got to go elsewhere.
Why would it be too hard in America?
What's left to do? Facebook is, Twitter is already occupied. People are already in real estate.
Create your own basketball league.
Whites already go to the NBA. They're not going to go to, I mean, they only got so many that does that.
That's what Larry Johnson was saying. It's time to create your own league.
Yeah,
they got
but
so
you
many
don't
of
have,
these little leagues around.
You don't have nobody to support it. Who's going to support it in this country?
Who's going to support it, right?
Because you could probably go to another, go to Africa, but that would be, you know, that their culture is not conducive in some of those things. So I don't see, it's not easy to create billionaires here in America. Today, you know, the longer as time go by, the people who are already establishing new ideas, and see, it would take a new idea for somebody to come in on the ground floor and build it up, then they would sell it. Look what AT&T is selling. I'm sorry, buying.
Yeah, DirecTV.
What is that? DirecTV.
Yeah, isn't that like a conflict of interest, a monopoly?
I think it is, but it's just like in this town, we only got one cable company. That's Charter. Used to have two. One was black and one was white. Black one fell to the side.
I had AT&T internet for like 28 days. That thing only worked for like about 2.5 weeks. And when it worked, it was shut down.
America has some of the worst internet access in the world.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, absolutely. Plus what you pay for it. Countries like Korea, and other countries have internet that's 10 times better than the U.S. access. Now, you can go down to Mississippi, and you can see the interstate highway, and they don't have internet. Speeds are slow. Then you pay too much money for it. $40 they want for 10 megabytes. Hell, in Korea, they got the basic is a gigabyte.
That's something. I kept saying that Mississippi would be a place to go ahead and hang out if you can get through a lot of the bull, but...
Well, I think Mississippi, because of the population, but, you know, I don't know anymore.
Well, what did you know?
Things change, man. You'd be surprised when you get out there and be around people. It's one thing to be in one spot reading and doing that, but when you get around people, you start seeing things the way it really is and listening to them talk. You hear people talking about how bad schools are, but when you tell them about vouchers, they say they're against vouchers. So that's contradictory right there. How can you talk about how bad something is and you really don't want to get away from it?
Yeah, I see that one a whole lot.
You can stand in a pile of dog mess, and no matter what you do, it's still going to stink. So you got to get out of it and away from it.
Well, a lot of us don't want to go ahead and get away from it. They seem to go ahead and just say, okay, well, it stinks. Let's just go ahead and cover our noses and walk on by it.
And you know what should let you know something, Rob? How in the hell is all these immigrants coming to this country getting all these jobs?
Yeah.
And Americans with degrees, and then not only that, why come Americans are not being directed? I ain't just talking about whites, blacks, whites neither.
Let me show you something I noticed. I was saying that, hey, a whole lot of the people in the medical field seem to be from a lot of other countries, man. And, like, again, I'm always critical of the politicians wanting to buy more bullets and not buy more books. So when I see all these coming into the country on all these different visas, but they are going, a lot of them going to the medical field and engineering firms, but you see them in almost every hospital.
Well, that's the point. Why come your own Americans? Let's put black. Let's don't even talk about black and white. Let's just say Americans. Why come Americans are not being directed and supported and given skills, whereas they can man these fields instead of all these immigrants?
Right.
That's crazy.
That's
who
crazy.
Come up with these type of policies?
I forgot who criticized it, but they were talking about in their country they don't do that. But then I remember seeing a place like is it Norway? God, one of those Scandinavian countries where they pretty much got they do have one of the highest literacy rates, but they put more money into educating the kids. Versus here, they try to go ahead and make it all private, so you got to go ahead and pay for it. How is that going to work?
Well, Dubai has 200,000 natural citizens, and then they got about 1.4 million of immigrants that's there doing a host of things.
Right.
From workers, and that whole city is worth about $500 billion, I guess. Well, if you look at it, look at the things that they have there. They bring in immigrants to do the work. Taxi cab drivers drive around in Rolls Royces. It's very expensive. Their apartment costs you $32,000 a year. In some instances, a four-bedroom. And that's on the outskirts of town.
Yeah, somebody sent me a message that life is good there. Yeah, I got a message from somebody telling me that life is real good there.
That's 32,000 euros. So I don't know how many American dollars that is. That's probably about 50,000 American dollars.
It's about, yeah, close to that, in between 50 and 60. That's still crazy.
So a lot of stuff that I hear folks talking about, I just listen to them.
Something's got to happen. All right, Brother Bianchi.
He's it.
I'm
yeah,
call
it's about
it tonight.
10:30. I guess I let you get on back to what you were doing.
Yeah, because I'm going to call it a night myself, brother. It has been good talking to you. Tomorrow, I'll go ahead and do a show tomorrow also. As I want to deal with some of these guys out here this week guys.
All right, then, Rob. Take care of yourself.
All right, bro.
All right, bye-bye. All
right, that's my show. Enjoyed it. Go out with this one.
Oh my girl, you tell me say you have something to tell me. No, you see me right now, please tell me. You can't. Oh my girl, you tell me say you have something to tell me. No, you see me right now, please tell me. You can't deny my love. You can't deny my love. Sexy Aitania, come sing for me.
Moment of honesty. Someone's gotta take the lead tonight. Is it gonna be?
Make sure.
I'm gonna sit right here and tell you what comes to me.
Honey, me tonight of the night, everything up is sealed up. My love is like we're hard, we want wheel up. Tell me how you feel about me, all the deal up. Me stand up on my two foot, them in a heel up. You are acting like so you're heartless. My love is pure and careless. You tell me to your ex man, where are the box, so what the hell you want with Charlie Black? Please tell me.
Charlotte to the B-L-A-C-K. Introducing sexy Haitania.